Good morning or afternoon, wherever you tend to be listening to our show. This is Old Lion, Young Lion, a show that exists to discover truth and proclaim it boldly. Our show is called Old Lion, Young Lion because the Bible teaches very clearly that the righteous will be bold as lions. And we intend on this show to be bold. We want to have no fear and be able to proclaim the things of the scripture as boldly as possible. We also, Old Lion and Young Lion, we also work for the greatest lion of all time, and that is the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. My name is Anthony Stafford, and I'm here with Sam Hazleton this morning, and we are both pastors of a local church in Schenectady, New York, called Electric City Baptist Church, and we would love for you to come be a part of our church and hear the gospel preached, the people of God singing worships to the God of creation, and we meet every Sunday, 10:30. Our address is 2350 Hamburg Street. We've been going on Old Lion, Young Lion almost a year and a half now. We're excited where the show is going, where it's been, and we are now on YouTube as well as anywhere you can get your podcasts. Now, you can reach out to the show anytime you want for questions or comments, or if you'd like a topic to make it onto the show, you can shoot us an email. Our email address is oldlionyounglion@gmail.com. We really do enjoy hearing from some of the listeners as well as the comments that we see on some of our social media. We also want to make a big shout out before we even get into the show. The old Guile Boys, I think it's Mike and Jim over at WSG. And for all your web service needs, make sure you reach out to Michael Guile. We love him over there. Thanks for sponsoring today's show. We dedicate this entire show to you, Mike. And so we have a tradition here on our show, Old Lion, Young Lion. We ask Old Lion to lead us in a word of prayer before we get into today's topic. And we want you to pay attention to today. It's going to be an interesting one. And so, Old Lion, would you do us the honor of praying over the show?
I will indeed. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for your word. We are excited about today's broadcast. Lord, we are looking forward to your return. We understand that your word indicates there's things that are going to happen, that must happen before you return, Lord, and that we talk about this mark of the beast. We talk about this Antichrist who the scriptures say must come first. Lord, we do ask and pray that you'd give us anointing today as we open up your word, as we endeavor to understand it, to explain it to everybody in the listening audience. Father, we thank you so much that you've given us advance notice. You've given us a heads up of what's going to come so that we can be ready when it does. Lord, thank you. I pray for courage, for boldness for us and for every one of our listeners. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And we pray a blessing over all of you that are listening, and we don't know where you've walked, or if you're a single mom struggling to make ends meet, or you're a young man that's trying to find his way in the world, if you're a grandparent with many grandkids or even great-grandkids, we don't know where you're walking or kind of what you've been through, but we hope that this show is a blessing to you and brings you a little bit closer to God, the Creator. Now, we are just two regular guys. We love Jesus and we love the Word of God. We're not here claiming any kind of superior authority and or knowledge. Everything that's at our fingertips comes from the Word of God, and you have access to this same book that we do. We implore you, we beg you, we ask of you to get into the Word of God and go learn some of these absolute truths. We're going to set up today's show kind of a little bit differently in a conversation mode. This is a topic that both Old Lion and Young Lion love to talk about. We've preached about it a few times. We preach in the local jails about some of this, and we kind of want to bring this topic to you. But Paul writes in the book of 2 Timothy to a young preacher. Paul writes to this guy named Timothy. He says, "This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come." Paul says, "Timothy, in the last days of the earth, perilous times will come." Then he goes on to say, "Men will be traitors, and they will be without natural affection, that they're going to be despisers of those that are good." He says that they will have the form of godliness, but they'll deny all the power of godliness. Throughout Scripture, there's many aspects of the signs of the end of the world. And we're going to give you one today, a unique one that many people have found interesting over the last hundreds of years the Bible's been translated into English. The English world has been a little bit captivated by the topic that we're going to talk about today. So Sam, if you could, I'd like you to kind of talk about maybe where we've been, kind of leaving the Christmas season in 2024 and kind of leaving some of the things that we've talked about last year, what we're kind of going to talk about today and set the tone for what we're going to be doing kind of in 2025.
Well, we've been hopping around a little bit. Last week, we answered the question, can people indeed change? And we answered that in the affirmative. We talked about the new birth, the regeneration of the spirit of man by the Holy Spirit of God. And this week, we are changing gears completely. We're going to fast forward to the end of times. And we're going to be talking about what is called the mark of the beast. And the Bible does say that there is an antichrist, a beast, who's coming in the last days immediately prior to the return of Jesus Christ. This word antichrist, this prefix of anti, actually means instead of Christ, somebody who comes proclaiming to be a Christ-like Messiah figure, and the world is going to receive him and accept him. Somebody who's coming in as a worldwide political leader, a worldwide religious leader, a worldwide economic leader, a worldwide military leader. And he is going to be received and accepted as a man of peace, and he is going to exert universal control over mankind in these last days.
The Bible kind of tells us about a guy that is going to maintain this control with all these different factions that we see in society now, public, theater, social, the sports world, the religious world, and he's going to kind of appeal to every aspect of man. And what's interesting is that across all of the world religions, they are all kind of waiting for this final version of their leader, of their kind of, as maybe even the traditional Jewish people would even say, Messiah. So we have this Muslim guy, this Imam of Al-Mahdi, he's supposed to show up. We have this fifth Buddha that's supposed to show up. The Jewish religion, this final Messiah is supposed to show up. Then this final Krishna, Kalki, this avatar of Vishnu, they're supposed to show up. So there's this world stage that's being set for this final guy to come in and have the form of godliness, look like a guy that's supposed to bring peace to the world, act as if he was God, even maybe demonstrate that he is God, but in reality he is not God. In fact, he is, as Old Lion just said, Antichrist. So how we want to kick off this show in conversation between Old Lion and Young Lion today, and you, we want you to participate in this by listening, is we're going to read a little bit of prophecy from Revelation chapter number 13. And so I'm gonna read a few verses, and Sam, I'm gonna set the stage for these verses, and I'm gonna ask you to give us a little bit of your take. Now, Sam, he's been on this earth since 1875. So this Old Lion here has seen many things come and go since the old 1800s. And so I want you to give your take on a few things that we're gonna read, and then we'll kind of look at specifically some very recent things in history that have happened that point to some of this. So Revelation 13, verse number 11. And again, you need to go read this for your own, but here's what it says. Chapter 13, verse number 11. The Apostle John, the prophet, writes this, "And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon." I want you to jump to verse 13 if you're following along. And it says, "And he doeth great wonders, so that he make fire come down from heaven and on earth in the sight of men, and he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth." Now jump to verse 15. "And he gave power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed." Stay with me, verse 16. "And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man could buy or sell except he had that mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name." character in the book of Revelation shows up in the end times and mandates and forces that everyone take the mark of the beast. So Sam, give us a little insight, some thoughts about these verses, and then maybe let's get into some of the things we've seen in recent times that kind of show what's coming.
Okay, so a little bit of historical perspective about this Antichrist figure. He is empowered, animated by Satan himself. Satan, we find out in Isaiah chapter 14, got his start by coveting and craving the worship that God received. He said, I will raise my seat above the stars of God. I don't want to be number two. I want to be number one. And he coveted that worship that God was receiving. So that has been one of the driving things throughout history, is Satan has tried to illegally obtain the worship that rightly belongs to God.
And Satan's up to these tricks all the time. He is the father of lies. He's always looking to deceive and to devour and to destroy.
Yeah, the Bible says that when people bow down to an idol, an image of something in heaven or on earth, they are actually worshiping demons. Mm. And so this is something that Satan has always desired. He's always coveted the worship of people. And just to point out, talk to you personally for a moment out there, your worship is valuable.
It matters.
Your worship is valuable to God. When you raise your hands in praise to the living God who created you and sent his son to die for your sins, you are blessing God Almighty.
Right.
He loves it. In the same way, your worship is coveted by Satan. He's going to try to distract you. He's going to try to put idols in front of you that you will bow down to instead of God, so that he can vicariously receive that worship. Satan will never be worthy of your worship. Wow. Jesus is worthy of your worship. He gave his life for you. He deserves it. He forgave your sins. He deserves your praise and your worship. But I want you to know your worship is incredibly valuable. And so you have God who desires to be worshiped in spirit and truth, and you have Satan vying for your worship.
Well, this is a good point. And I think as Satan kind of keeps his eye out of what's going on in the world, today's world, the stage has been set. So there's some things that have kind of evolved in the culture, evolved in the technology, involved in the transmission or the exchange of goods. What are some things you've seen that are kind of the stage is set for Revelation 13, the mark of the beast, to be kind of implemented?
It's incredible, the technology that's available now. Whether we don't know if the mark of the beast is going to be some sort of tattoo. They have these medical devices that can inject this subcutaneous substance below the skin. We don't know if it's going to be, they have these little devices that are about the size of a grain of rice that are installed in the hand or in the forehead. They're actually doing this currently in Europe in various places as a means where people buy and sell, as a means where people can use a vending machine, or there will be all kinds of desire for security. I know security is a big deal in our day and age, digital security. And so the idea that somebody can just have in their person, have a chip or a mark that will positively identify them, that can't be hacked, that can't be falsified, rather than having to carry around a wallet full of cards or whatever. And so this is something that has tremendous appeal to people. You talk to people out in the world, they can't wait for some sort of mark like this to replace. They don't have to carry their wallet anymore. They don't have to worry about losing their wallet or being ripped off in the park.
Well, yeah, and I can remember when I was a kid, you could walk up to a vending machine and you pay 25 cents to get a can of soda. You drop a quarter in the vending machine. Now they have these the systems that are placed on the vending machines where you got to come up and only use digital money, only accepts digital money. Everywhere we go now, this exchange for physical transmission of goods is now becoming digital. So the technology side is kind of set. Then we kind of have the advancements in the medical technology, this idea of the Neuralink, that you'll be able to have some kind of chip implanted into your brain, and you'll be able to communicate back and forth with computers or phones, or you'll be able to kind of command all the technology in your house with just a thought. This, many years ago, made Revelation 13 look bogus, that this was going to be impossible. And in today's day and age, with things like Neuralink or chip implants or even credit cards, it makes Revelation 13 look entirely truthful and very possible.
Indeed. You've also got what's happening nowadays, and it has exploded in the last 2-3 years, this artificial intelligence.
Yeah, AI, right.
And so we read in Revelation 13, it talks about how this false prophet caused this image of the beast to both speak. And all I can think about when I read that now, 20 years ago when I read that, I didn't think about this. But now when I read about it, I think of artificial intelligence. You can literally, they've produced from scratch songs posthumously by the Beatles and things like that, that they've released these AI productions that are very convincing. You can create holograms of people using artificial intelligence. They're using it in movies and things like that. It's exploding. And I have a feeling that this is a technology that's going to be harnessed indeed by the Antichrist to create a convincing portrayal and to exert influence through digital means.
I think so too. And so that's the technology side. We're on the cusp of that. And I'm sure there are things that haven't even been released to the public that are behind the scenes developing much faster than we would even anticipate or expect. So Old Lion, the technology seems to be there to match some of this prophecy. Tell me a little bit about the compulsory side. Even if the technology kind of explodes, what have you seen and how could we kind of perceive where we're going to be mandated for this to happen? Like you might say, okay, great. Well, I don't have to go along with the technology side. How in the world are they going to force this to be the case? What have you seen where that's kind of coming alongside the technology, the ability to compulse people to get this mark?
I mentioned it before. Satan doesn't care how he gets you to bow down to him.
Wow.
He doesn't care how he gets you to worship
him. Let's say that again. Satan does not care how he gets you to bend the knee to him. That's powerful. Go on.
That's absolutely true. And so, whereas God, he wants you to be devoted to him out of a true love in your heart and appreciation for his grace and his forgiveness, Satan doesn't care. He just wants, he doesn't care if he makes you go through the motions, however he gets you to do it. And so, for him, compulsion seems to be the easiest way. And there's a lot of people out there who will very boldly say, well, I'll never take the mark of the beast. I'll never bow the knee to Satan. I would never, ever do that. And so it's very interesting. People say one thing. This reminds me of Peter a little bit. When Jesus said he was going to the cross, and Peter said, this is never going to happen to you. And he says, I'll go and die with you, Jesus. And Jesus turned to him and said, hey, here's the truth, Peter. Before the cock crows twice today, you will deny 3 times that you even know me. And of course, as Jesus said, this is what happened. Peter professed boldly that he would never deny Jesus. He would never bow the knee to Satan. And yet in reality, he did. And so this is very true in our day as well. And it's going to be very true when this day comes. If you can think about for a minute, just take your mind back to 4 years ago.
Okay, I'm there with you.
In March of 2020.
Okay.
We all remember when COVID hit, and we remember how quickly the governments of the earth moved in lockstep to lock things down, to compel certain behaviors, to compel people not to meet together, not to go to work. They compelled them to, before they could walk into a store to buy milk, you had to put this mask over your face and over your nose and obstruct your breathing. I remember how difficult it was. I was not in line with that. I didn't comply with that. But there are many, many people who say, hey, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. And yet when push comes to shove, and it's a choice between, well, you either put that mask on your face or you can't buy milk for your kids. And so people are put in this position, and Satan knows the choice you're going to make. You're going to bow the knee because you deem your children important. That was a pretest.
Pretest, right.
That whole COVID experience that we all went through, are you going to lose your job or are you going to take this vaccine, this unsafe vaccine that kills people? Which are you going to do? Oh, you want to keep your job? Okay, so you just take this shot. And I know many, many people who made that decision to take this shot. Guys, I'm not here to condemn anybody for doing it. I'm not here to condemn anybody if you wore the mask when you went into the store. I'm not going to condemn you that you took the shot. What I'm here to say is that the people in political power exerted control over every single person in our country, every single person in our world through this threatening. They said, well, if you don't get it, you can't work. If you don't get it, you can't buy or sell. This is, we got the best picture of this in advance. And now the real thing, I don't think is very far off.
I don't think so either. I think you're right that we got to get a little preview of the game plan for those of us that experienced this. So the technology's there, the compulsory factor, the strength of being able to push people is there. And this, thousands of years ago, was written in John. And this idea that people thought is completely crazy, the Bible had this kind of written down. But Satan, you know, he steals his ideas. None of this stuff that Satan does is ever straight up his own original idea. He's a copycat and he's a liar and he's roaming about the earth seeking whom he may devour. He's not innovative. He's up to his old tricks again. He is the father of lies. So there's some other places in scripture where this idea of the mark is kind of brought up. So we all kind of, maybe you haven't heard the story, but originally in Genesis, we kind of find this idea where God marks this guy Cain so that he's not killed. God kind of sets him apart, even though it's he receives a punishment, he gets marked. But reality, there's this passage in scripture that gives us indication that God created this idea of a mark and then Satan stole it. So Sam, why don't you get us to Exodus chapter number 13 and give us a little insight to this first idea where God implements the idea of a mark.
So you actually see this mark appearing probably four other times in Scripture.
Okay.
In the common element between this and what we're reading in Revelation 13, verse 16, is that all of these things are a mark that's put on somebody on their forehead or in their hand.
Yep.
To prevent them from experiencing a death.
Okay.
That they otherwise would have experienced.
Okay.
And so you see it with Cain. God told Cain he would have to be a fugitive and a wanderer in the earth. And Cain's like, well, they're going to kill me. And so the Lord put a mark on Cain so that nobody would kill him.
Okay, so we first see God implementing this.
Yep, and he does it again in Exodus chapter 13. This is the Passover.
In my view, Sam, this one is damning evidence that this is an idea that Satan stole from God, not the other way around.
Yeah, absolutely. And so in this story of the Exodus, God had determined to kill all the firstborn of the Egyptians. And he told the Jews, I want you to sacrifice a lamb for each family and put the blood of the lamb on the doorposts of your house. And when the destroying angel passes by to kill the firstborn, he's going to see the blood on the doorposts of your house, and he will pass over that house. And so God said in Exodus 13, this is going to be a memorial. You're going to celebrate this Passover forever, year after year, about how I brought you out of Egypt, how I protected you from the destroyer of the firstborn. And he says in Exodus chapter 13, verse 9, it says, and it shall be to you as a sign on your hand or as a mark on your hand and as a memorial between your eyes, what's between your eyes, your forehead, that the law of the Lord may be in your mouth. He says it again in Exodus chapter 13, verse 16. He says, it shall be as a mark on your hand or frontlets between your eyes, for by a strong hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt. Interestingly, it's Exodus 13, 16 is reflective of what we read in Revelation 13, 16.
Yeah, and I think that it's amazing to see how God's word kind of projects this out. Also, what we're trying to do is point out that Satan's up to his old tricks. We're not here to make you be afraid or scared or we got to go and find out if we can have, go get some more stockpile of ammunition or go find some places to get a way of food and run from the battle or run from the fight of truth. This is an idea that we're just pointing out how Satan steals and destroys even God's plan to use it for his own means. He's going to come declaring himself to be God in the place of God. And in the end of the book, let me tell you folks, in the end of the book, God deals justly. He takes care of this. But you need to be aware of some of these things that are happening so as to not be deceived. The Bible says that, for my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. If you don't know that this is even part of the book, you're going to be kind of lost in this idea. And Satan takes this idea from Exodus chapter 13, and he implements it in his own ability to kind of create a world that's going to worship him.
There's another spot that we didn't get to in Ezekiel chapter 9, in verse 4, where God uses this same technique, and he has this man with a writing case to go to make a mark on everybody that was godly in Jerusalem, because the destroying angel was going to come and wipe out everybody else. And so we see this pattern over and over again in Scripture. Satan appropriates it for himself. Now what we're dealing with, and I want to read another verse in Revelation chapter 14, which is related to this.
Okay, just one chapter after this mark of the beast. So, Yep. We're in context of, in Revelation 13, he warns us you can't buy or sell without this mark. And then we come to Revelation 14 and give us a little bit of additional color and content to some things we should watch out for.
Okay, so I'm going to be in Revelation 14, 11. It says,
okay,
and the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, these worshipers of the beast and its image, and whoever receives the mark of its name.
So not only is there a consequence of what's going to happen if you don't take the mark, there's a consequence from God if you do take the mark.
Correct. Well said. And in verse 12, it goes on, it says, here is a call for the endurance of the saints.
Wow.
Those who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. I'm not trying to use scare tactics with you right now, but I want you to understand, if you like me, lived through this COVID experience, that was a pretest. The real thing, I believe, is coming very soon.
Right.
Where you are going to be forced to worship the beast. You're going to be forced to take this mark. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to go to the grocery store. You're not going to be able to buy or sell. You're not going to be able to have a job. And so you're going to have to make up in your mind, who do you fear more? God or the temporal punishments that this world can dole out?
Yeah, and I think there's an idea kind of in the church world, and you may have even heard it or maybe seen a movie about it, that, oh, we don't have to worry about this because maybe God is going to come and just rescue us before things get too bad. Throughout all of Scripture, God always says, I will pray for your endurance through trials rather than just
escape,
redeem you out of them, get you out of them. And so this idea is going to come on the heels of a grand deception that's going to kind of go out through the entire world. In 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, Paul also writes concerning this idea, and he says, let no man deceive you by any means, for this day shall not come unless there be a falling away from the truth first, and this man of sin be revealed. Later in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, he reveals that there's going to be a strong delusion of people that will be chasing after this Antichrist and following after this beast and ultimately taking the mark of the beast.
Yeah, you got to make up your mind now.
Now.
Who do you worship? Do you worship the true and living God? Or are you bowing down to other things in our society? Are you bowing down to entertainment? Are you bowing down to Hollywood? Are you bowing down to the cares and pleasures of this age? Who are you worshiping? And the second thing is, do you truly have courage? Or are you operating in fear? Are you responding in fear to the intimidation of the government? Are you responding in fear to the intimidation of cultural pressures? Or are you somebody who has courage of your convictions that you got from the Bible and you're willing to die for them? Because that's what it's going to come down to.
Yes, and maybe you're out there and you're kind of like, hey, I don't know that much about what's in the Bible. I need to kind of find my way back into this book. We have a phrase at our church where we say, we stand on a strong book and we follow a strong Savior. The Bible is not there for you to be kind of fearful or be afraid or feeling like things are going to be disastrous. It tells us in multiple places. In Revelation 2, it tells us that fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer, for behold, you will receive a crown of life if you endure.
Yep.
Then in 1 Timothy, he says, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. The Bible is not warning you so that you'll be afraid, but rather giving you the wisdom so that you can walk in strength. Now, this show might have been a little bit different this week than our other shows, but we're not here to dabble in what's happening in the fashion world or what's going on with the sports world, though we might touch on some of these things here or there. We're not always here just to tell you about Sampa Graham's kids here, old lion, grandkids and his kids. Our job is to discover the truth of the Word of God and proclaim it boldly, and there will be a consequence for those who take the mark of the beast. We hope that this show has been a blessing to you. We hope that you'll learn from it and stick with us in 2025. God bless.
And we'll see you in church.